Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 15 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. And I am all kinds of excited about today's show, because it has been a long time in the coming. First, it was something that I wanted to do back when I started my Major Arcana TV channel in 2011, but back then I was still too worried about pissing people off. And then when I started Kick-Ass Witch in 2012, I actually thought it would be one of the first videos that I would make there, and somehow it just kept getting pushed back to the back burner again and again and again until today. Yay! But before I get started talking about that, I have to make a correction on last week's show. And that is because I kept calling Diane Sylvan's amazing book, The Circle Within, I kept calling it The Secret Within, and I don't know why, because it's one of my favorite books. But it really annoyed me. I always listen back to the show, and I always notice mistakes, but this is not about being perfect, but I normally don't need to correct those mistakes because I assume that you know I'm not perfect. And I also, wow, I trip over my tongue so often. But in this case, I wanted to make a little amendment because it's a great book, and I highly recommend it, and I want to give my respects to Diane Sylvan, who is a great writer. And speaking of circles today, I want to talk about your inner circle of friends. And actually, it's more like your inner circle of imaginary friends. And this is something that I have been doing for myself for years. And it is just a fun, lighthearted way to access your inner guidance. Another way to access inner guidance. There are many ways, but this is a way that's really fun. And I think sometimes some of us take our spirituality so seriously that we forget that it's about, you know, we're all about the reverence, but we forget that it's about mirth and reverence, and that it's about joy and having fun and playing a bit, you know, especially if you're into magic. That's about play. That's about fun. That's about imagination. And if you are a witch or a pagan of any kind, you might have a pantheon of gods and goddesses that you work with. And back in the day, when this word pantheon was brand new, it pretty much meant what it means today, a shrine to all the gods, pan meaning all and theos meaning of or for the gods. And if you're not a witch or a pagan, Clash of the Titans might come to mind, or you might recall studying Greek mythology back in school. But regardless, I'm assuming that you have a basic understanding of what a pantheon is in a mythological or maybe even a religious context. What I'm proposing today is that we use our imaginations to stretch this word a little bit further to include the so-called gods and goddesses of pop culture. Yes, I am going there. For all the talk about God and spirituality and society, one really need only go to a popular news site or turn on the TV or even just go through a grocery store checkout line to see who the real gods are that people are worshiping. They are, especially young people, for better and probably for worse, worshiping people like the Kardashians. And I just saw The Bling Ring over the 4th of July holiday, and that movie underscores this point so perfectly. Sofia Coppola, the director, she did an excellent job of depicting this celebrity-worshipping culture that our young people are steeped in today, and the lengths that they will go to be like Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton, which is, in my opinion, it's actually pretty gross. And I don't mean that as a commentary on those people, but I don't know. I'm just going to plead the fifth and move on here. And I want to be clear that this is so not what I'm talking about here today. I am not talking about celebrity worship or putting anyone on a pedestal, and it's really important to me that you get that before I proceed. What I am talking about is creating a kind of imaginary pantheon of public figures that you can call on when you're in a pinch, when you need some advice or you're feeling confused about what to do next. And it is, for this entire exercise, actually helpful that the people you choose be public figures. They can even be fictional characters from a movie or a book that you like. And the reason for that is because we're going to be working with our projections and what someone represents or symbolizes to us rather than who they actually are as people. And as I said in a previous episode, I think it was the episode on Be Your Own Guru, what I said and what I believe is that whatever quality or qualities you admire in someone else, those are qualities that you already possess. They may be latent qualities that are lying dormant and waiting for you to activate and develop them with some focused energy, but they are there nonetheless. So let's say you admire Angelina Jolie because you perceive her to be a humanitarian and a good mother. Well, then all she is doing is mirroring back at you what you know deep down inside about yourself. So somewhere inside, you have a humanitarian and a good parent living in there just waiting to get out. Or maybe you already are, you know, being a humanitarian and a good parent. She's just reflecting that back at you. Some people admire Angelina Jolie because they see her as a rebel. And others can't stand her, and that's my point. It's all about perception and reflection and the individual lens through which you're looking. So does that make sense? It's not about the person, actually who they are day in and day out, because we don't really know these people. Most of us don't really know these people. It's about your perception. And here's another example. Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen might have special significance for you because you like the way she stands up for what she believes in, equality, animal rights, etc. You may admire her because her delivery is funny and kind, which is a rare combination in comedians these days. Others might love her because they see her as being a strong, empowered woman running her own empire. And of course, she is all of those things and none of those things at the same time. Most of us don't know Ellen personally, but many of us love her just the same. And that's because she makes us feel good about ourselves, and she makes us feel good about the possibilities of our life because she is reflecting back at us the best of us and the good that we already have inside. And that's the kind of person that I'm talking about here. So let me ask you, who do you find yourself gravitating toward when you turn on TV or are scrolling through the news online or in a newspaper or in a magazine? What public figure, sports star, leader, movie star, rock star, author, designer inspires you? Who inspires you? Diane von Furstenberg, Kobe Bryant, Barack Obama, J.K. Rowling? Whoever it is, write it down. In fact, write down every one that you can think of. Make a list of the celebrities or, like I said, even fictional characters who really light your fire and make you want to stand up and say yes. And everybody's list is going to be a little bit different, and that's what's really fun about this. And no one is going to see your list unless you want them to. So don't worry about feeling like a dork, and don't, you know, put people on your list who you feel like you should admire, because there's no one to impress here. If you don't truly connect with Eleanor Roosevelt or Gandhi, putting them on your list is really just defeating the purpose. You want to add people who you feel a true click with. And it's not an intellectual process. It's emotional, and it goes beyond reason. So, and then once you've got a good long list going, you can narrow it down to a few key players, the ones who really have that special zing for you. And you can make it as long as 10, maybe even a dozen But I'm thinking that 3 to 6 people would be best. But it's your list, so you decide. This is all in the name of fun. And it's actually, it is fun, and it's even quite a bit silly. And I specialize in silly. But also, it's very effective. And it might surprise you if you actually start working with a list like this at how it helps you tap into your own inner guidance. And my personal list, it's longer than this, but I will share 3 people off my list. And it includes Oprah Winfrey, Jack White, and Tess McGill, who is a fictional character from Mike Nichols' movie Working Girl from the 80s, which I am fully obsessed with. I've seen that movie a bajillion times. And I'm actually obsessed with all these people, and that's the point. They symbolize something to me, and I have at least one image of them, of each of them displayed prominently somewhere in my home and in an area where I think that they can help me and where they represent and where they're just a good reminder to me. Oprah, for me, is about authenticity, for example. She's built one of the world's largest professional empires just by being herself. And my friend Sophia just put out a newsletter that she actually included this Oprah quote in, and it's one that I actually have in this little quote book that I have that is filled with all kinds of cool, inspiring quotes. And she says, "I had no idea that being your authentic self could make me as rich as I've become. If I had, I'd have done it a lot earlier." And that's not to say that being your authentic self is going to make you rich. It made her rich, but it might just make you happy. And that might be good enough, you know, just successful enough to make ends meet and to be happy and to have a life you love. You know, and she has been authentic with us as far as it looks from the outside looking in or through my perception. And so we have journeyed with her through her ups and downs. We've met her best friend many times. We know all her favorite foods. She is a friend to all. And what I also take from Oprah is that she gives back generously. She uses her platform to teach and to be of service. And then she turns around and uses her money and power to affect what she considers positive change in the world. And these are all things that I want to do. But I, you know, in my own quirky way, I don't want to be Oprah. I don't want to copy Oprah. But I often ask myself, what would Oprah do? And that has helped me make some fantastic decisions in my life. Not because I was emulating someone else, but because I was channeling my own inner guidance through that lens of perception. I don't know Oprah. We've never met. But I have a special place in my heart for what I feel she represents. And I know now that that special place also represents qualities within me and that I can invoke those qualities at will. I can call for that wisdom or inner guidance anytime I please. And Oprah is just a symbol that I use to do that. And it reminds me a lot of Christian Slater's character, Clarence, in the very violent movie, True Romance. I loved Alabama Wurley. I loved that character. But Clarence was Alabama Wurley's guy. And have you ever seen that movie? It's really good, but it's really violent. So if you don't like violent movies, maybe just skip it. But in that movie, Clarence has a special guide that appears to him in the bathroom mirror, and this guide looks and sounds an awful lot like Elvis Presley. He's got Elvis as his spirit guide or imaginary friend, however you want to look at it. But either way, it's an effective tool, and it helps him through his challenges and journey in the movie. So I was thinking about that today when I was waiting for this show to start. I was thinking, I'm going to mention that because it's a really good example of what I'm talking about. And FYI, Val Kilmer plays Elvis, so that's lots of fun. And then it's helpful to have a variety of people in your pantheon because, A, you are a multifaceted being, and different occasions call for different kinds of guidance. And, B, it just helps to keep from becoming a wannabe or a clone of someone else or just getting too obsessed on one person and losing yourself. You don't want to become like a spiritual stalker. You just want to be able to access your own inner guidance from a variety of angles through a number of doors. Plus, it just keeps it interesting. And I do think that this is just something that as a culture we do naturally. I think it's really interesting that, you know, we used to have all of these pagan gods. We had these pantheons, you know, the Celtic people had their pantheons, the Egyptian people had their pantheons, you know, and, you know, all the different areas of the globe had their pantheons. And it's interesting to me that a lot of new pagans will do some research, then find a pantheon that clicks with them and adopt that pantheon, which is something I've actually personally never really been able to click with because I don't know why. It just seems kind of archaic. It just doesn't really resonate with me personally. And it's not for lack of trying. It just doesn't do it for me. But if you look at it through time, like once, you know, Western culture started becoming Christianized and we weren't able to worship these pagan gods anymore, we turned those old stories into fairy tales. And then the characters in those stories became our heroes. And that became our pantheon. And it was a collective pantheon. You know, everybody knew who Robin Hood was. Excuse me. Everybody knew who Robin Hood was and Maid Marian and those legends that lived on and on and on and evolved over time, you know, and we had the fairy tales like Cinderella and Snow White, which also evolved over time. And if you go to the movies today, you're going to run into some superheroes. And to me, these are just like pumped up pagan gods on steroids. It's funny to me that like these macho men that don't show their emotions, you know, and try to keep up, you know, a very stoic, brave, all-purpose, linear-thinking facade, they'll go into a movie theater and totally get off on Superman or Thor. And really, these are important archetypes, and they speak to us on a level that just goes deep, and I don't think they're ever going to go away. And that's just something, my husband really likes superheroes, and that's something when I started learning about, you know, all of these pagans who are into these pantheons, I just started going, well, yeah, that's every man I know was into the superhero pantheon. So, yeah, I just something to think about. I thought that was pretty interesting. And it's, you know, it's kind of a weird way of looking at it. But for me, it just really rings true. And then, like I said, these superheroes, they're fictional characters. These fairy tales, they're characters, but they tap into archetypes that resonate within us all somewhere. And for me, Tess McGill is one of those. You know, she is a fictional character in this movie. Melanie Griffith plays her to perfection. And even though I own this movie, every single time it comes on the TiVo, I have to record it because I just love it. I get so much out of it. I feel so exhilarated and inspired and motivated when it's over. And I have a picture of her in my office right next to my desk, and she's like looking out over the bay and dreaming, and it really, or the East River, whatever, and it really just, that picture reminds me of the movie, and it's my symbol, it's my little goddess statue on the wall. And what she represents to me is she refuses to accept the status quo, and she's willing to fight for her dream and to go through all manner of challenges to get there. She's very brave, and she will not take no for an answer, although she's not afraid to roll up her sleeves and get to work, and despite the fact that the world only sees her value as being that of a secretary or a hot piece of ass, she knows deep down that she is worth so much more. She really feels her value. And I can't even tell you, when that theme song from Carly Simon comes on, let the rivers flow, let all the dreamers wake the nation. Now you know what it's like to live with me. I have to stand up. I have to cheer. It just gives me chills. I got chills just now being a total goofball for you guys. So I really am a geek. And then another person, he might think, like, what do you have in common with him? Because, one, he's a him, it's a guy. That is Jack White. And Jack White, he's my favorite rock god. I call him my rock god because I just absolutely love his music. But that is not why he is a part of my pantheon. I really admire his entrepreneurial and pioneering spirit. This is a guy who does everything full on with complete passion. He has an amazing work ethic, and he's having fun. He loves life. He enjoys what he's doing, and he also, again, is not afraid to roll up his sleeves and get to work. And he started his own business when I think he was a teenager, refurbishing furniture, and it was so Jack White. You know, he's really into, like, marketing and color schemes and having all these little, like, funky signature rules, you know, with the white stripes, everything had to be red, white, and black. And with his furniture company, everything had to be black, yellow, and white, which he's now carries through all these years later as he's opened his own studio / record shop / hangout, Third Man Records. It's all black, yellow, and white. And so I really relate to that. That is just who I am, and so I saw that in him, and I was like, oh, I totally get that, and he's successful doing it. And what else is great about him is that he kind of reaches up and back. He reaches back to the young bands that are coming up behind him, and he lifts them up. He will produce, like, singles, an A and a B side of a vinyl record of some little unknown band in a weekend, and he has done that countless times, and he sells those records through Third Man Records. They'll also reach up to his elders and people that he's admired, and he'll produce their records. He produced Loretta Young and all of these, like, old timers you've probably never even heard of. He just produced a record with Willie Nelson for Willie Nelson's 80th birthday and had this big blowout at Third Man Records. And all the while, he is having a blast. He's just enjoying himself. He's having fun. And you don't see him, you know, going off the rails on some coke binge, trashing his hotel room and shacking up with a bunch of supermodels. He's busy doing what he loves and having a life and creating this beautiful body of work. And he's also really defied the industry. You know, people say there is no record industry and you can't sell records. And he's like, oh, yeah? And he just created this whole new model. So now he sells vinyl records so you can get the music that he sells. Either you can download it or you can get a vinyl record, and his fans buy it. He started a mobile record store where they drive around. You know, they'll go to prominent locations in New York, LA, Austin, or they'll go to music festivals and set up and play music, and the fans can buy records right there. And he's doing great. He's making lots of money and showing people, hey, this can be done. Don't listen to what the experts say. Music is not dead. The industry is not dead. And you can tell I'm very passionate about this. This could have been a 30-minute show just on Jack White. So, yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to tap into those people that really, like, hit that passion nerve within you. And also, creating a pop pantheon is just a fun excuse to make yourself a vision board. I love vision boards, which is another benefit to working with celebrities because photos abound. So you may want to make yourself a little vision board, you know, of your pop pantheon and place it inside your medicine cabinet or someplace discreet just for yourself, maybe inside your date book or the glove box of your car for the next time you feel a little stuck in a situation and you want to ask yourself, what would Madonna do? I hope you enjoyed this show. I definitely enjoyed this. This is my favorite show so far. And thank you so much again for those of you who hung with me through being sick last week. I feel like a million bucks today. And I send you so much love for all of your prayers and well wishes. You guys rock. You are the best. I hope you have a beautiful week. I will be here again next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Until then, much love. Peace.